Let's pray. Oh Lord, our Father in heaven, we come to you thankful for an opportunity to gather this evening and to praise you for your work in the building of your kingdom. Lord, even as we reflect upon your word and ask that you would help us to hear it, to give us ears to hear, that we might better understand, that the Spirit would work this evening and teach us. We would be refreshed in your goodness and your grace and encouraged to be used by you in the building of your kingdom. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to thank the session for the invitation to be here this evening. When I got the message and the invite, I was very excited. Anything that the committee and the session would like for me to do, I said, I'll do it. And then immediately my next thought was, I have so much respect for the pastors, the elders, many of the folks that I know at Woodruff Road. I thought, wow, it's one of those moments where you realize I am really the least of these. But as Pastor Halbert said earlier, we're not here to hear me. We're thankful that the Lord is working. So we're going to ask that he refreshes us in his word. So I do, as my friend mentioned, I do come from the faraway land of East Tennessee. Some people do consider it to be far away and strange. It depends on where you might hail from. But I was thinking on the way over here, praying as I was driving through, seeing the beginning of fall and going through the gorge, coming to this side of the mountain. What a joy it would be and is to be with y'all. So thank you. Thank you for the invitation. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the support. I bring thanks from the folks who are gathering together at the church plant in Knoxville. We pray for y'all in our weekly adult prayer meeting. And it has been a joy to see many of them understand what it is to have a connected church. And y'all play a big part in that. So we appreciate that. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Philemon, we're going to look at just the first few verses in this short letter this evening together. This is Paul's shortest letter that he wrote. It was carried along with the letter of Colossians. I encourage you to read them both together. You can get a full picture. We're just going to look at one small aspect for encouragement this evening. The letter itself overall, it shows and gives a path for Christians. They might understand how to lovingly pursue relationships in the body of Christ, how to reconcile relationships when they're set asunder from conflict, when we sin against one another, how, by God's grace, that can be brought together, and as we're going to see this evening, an opportunity to be refreshed by the love of Christ and faithfulness of his people in the body. So this is God's word. Listen. Follow along as I read the first seven verses. Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. It wasn't too long ago, I was enjoying a conversation with a new regular attender at the plant who's been with us for a while now. And they haven't been in church for a very long time. They grew up in the church years and years ago. And And it's probably been about a decade since they've been back. And so there's been a lot of questions and a lot of good conversations. And one of the things that this individual was having a hard time grasping was all these churches that were supporting this church plant in Northwest Knox, in the Knoxville area. Particularly, now they grasped like why some of the churches, some of our sister PCA churches in the greater Knoxville area, why they would be praying for us, why they would be supporting us. But why in the world were these churches in other states? This individual just couldn't quite wrap their mind around it. So over lunch, we talked, and I tried to explain to them. And as we went through, it's kind of like I saw the light bulb coming on. And by the end of this lunch conversation, they were just amazed how God works through the love and generosity of his people, even at a great distance. And that there's folks in a whole other state on the other side of the mountains that are praying for us in Knoxville and helping to support. And that made a huge impact in this individual's thinking about the church and the Lord and growth of the kingdom. And it was a blessing that I'm sharing with you that I hope is an encouragement. It was a surprise to them. I suspect that, I mean, here at Woodruff Road, here at the Missions Conference, that's not a surprise to you. I mean, the idea that we would pray for one another, that we would seek to come together in our labors of sharing the gospel and the hope that we have in Christ with others and desiring to plant the flag of the gospel in places where there is not a gospel witness. I mean, to us, to you, that's, well, yeah, that's what we do. Of course, we have a great heart for that. So even though there was a surprise in this individual's mind, I suspect you don't have one. And I hope that this evening, as we spend a few minutes together, that you won't learn necessarily anything new, but that you might be encouraged. The Spirit might encourage you to keep pressing on and to continue to do what it is you're doing in prayer and support of mission work, whether that's here in the greater Greenville area in the United States or around the world. I pray that our time together will be an encouragement when I get to go back and be with the folks in Knoxville and tell them about our time together, but that it'll also be an encouragement to you. As we see in these few verses we're looking at, what I want you to take away is the importance to thank God for your fellow believers and pray they continue producing fruit to the glory of God. Thank God for your fellow believers and pray they continue producing fruit to the glory of God. And we're going to talk about just two aspects of that, two prayers. First, the prayers of thankfulness for your fellow believers and prayers of intercession for your fellow believers. So prayers of thankfulness. And as we come back to the short little letter, Philemon, first few verses, we see that Paul is greeting Philemon with a blessing as he is encouraging him, as he's opening up with these introductions, hellos, and then he blesses Philemon by reminding him who he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he speaks grace and peace to him from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul makes it clear to him. He seeks to encourage him here. He makes it clear that he takes time to thank God for his brothers and sisters when he prays for them. Not just that he prays for them, but that he is actively thankful for what the Lord is doing in them, how he is working through them, and the fruit that he is bringing forth in their life. Maybe you've never experienced this. Perhaps you don't have a friend or an acquaintance or a coworker or someone that whenever you interact with them, you're wondering in the back of your mind, is this sincere? Is what they're saying right now, is this just an effort to like I would say hello to them, they just give kind of a greeting. Or maybe even worse, are they attempting to try to flatter me? Maybe that's never happened to you. Maybe another way to think about it. Have you ever, I'll go first. I'll admit, I've told someone, I'll pray for that. I'll pray for you. And I forget. And then I remember later, and I pray, but I feel convicted because I'd made that person a promise. I was going to pray for them, particularly if it's something that's coming up and I forgot. Maybe that's happened to you. You said, I'll pray for you, but you forget. Well, Paul here, as we look here, there's no flattery. There's no false promise. He's just clear that when he prays for his brothers and sisters in Christ, he thanks God for them in his prayers. And he's thankful, as we continue here, he's thankful for the fruit that God is producing in their lives, particularly that gospel fruit that he's doing. Paul is sincere when he says, whenever I pray for you, I'm thanking God for you. That's one of those many wonderful aspects of Paul when he says, follow me as I follow Christ. This is a good place to follow Paul as he follows Christ. Follow Paul with this thankfulness in prayer for the brethren. Thankfulness for one another. Thankfulness for all of those whom you have the opportunity to support in mission work around the world, here in the States, and for what God is doing through those labors and efforts. Well, Paul, having given this welcome, this greeting, he lets Philemon know that he is thankful for him in prayer. And then we come into verse 5, and we see that Paul, he's heard about Philemon's faith in the Lord. So it isn't just that he's being thankful, like, you know, God, I thank you for Philemon. I see his name here on the prayer list, and I'm thankful for him. But he has specific reasons that he's thankful. He's thankful for the faith that he has heard about and he knows about in Philemon. He knows these things from testimonies that have come to him. In Colossians 1, we know Epaphras has told him about the great things that Philemon has done. And we know from the context of even this very letter that Onesimus has told him some of the great things that he has done. And that he is, yes, Philemon is faithful to the Lord. He loves the Lord. He loves the brethren. He loves using what he has, what's been given to him to steward over time, treasure, talents. He loves to bless the saints and to bless the work of the gospel. That's who he is, Paul. And Paul's heard these things, and he's thanking the Lord for that reality in Philemon's life. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, Philemon's pastor is telling Paul good things about him. And then Philemon's runaway servant, his runaway slave, is even saying good things about him. Pretty trustworthy. These are probably some relatively reliable sources giving thanks for this brother to Paul. And Paul is also aware of these things, taking great joy in the faith of the word that the Lord is working out in Philemon. What a joy it is when we have that opportunity. Again, that we thank the Lord, not just for blanket. I thank you for my brother or sister right here. But when you're able to thank the Lord for the fruit that he's producing in their life, particularly when it comes to their love and faith in regards to love to the brethren, but also for the sharing of the gospel and the taking of that reality and the truth of who Christ is to all those around him. So Paul's heard about Philemon's faith in the Lord, but also in verse 5, we see that Paul's heard about Philemon's love for the brethren. I mean, Philemon is hosting the Colossian church in his home. He's seeking to meet whatever needs come up that he's able to address and he takes care of. He's caring for his brothers and sisters in this way. If you go to the end of the letter, again, it's not very far, might even be on the same page, perhaps turn to the next one. When he's given the final greetings to Philemon, he says in verse 23, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You can almost imagine from this context of the letter here that Paul is sitting around with these men. And as they're sending these greetings, referring to one another as these fellow workers, that they're talking about the thankfulness that they have for the work that God is doing. And what they're seeing happening in the building of the kingdom and hearing about Philemon and what he and the part he is playing in that. What Onesimus has told them as he's been there, providentially brought to Paul, helping him and being able to share with him even more about what Philemon is doing. The folks at, as I mentioned, at the church plant over in Knoxville, we have the opportunity, they do, to know about the things that Woodruff has done because we've told them, but they're also experiencing those realities and the truth. They're getting to experience, just as Onesimus and others experienced Philemon's love for the brethren, in a very real way, the folks at the plant in Knoxville are experiencing the love that Woodruff Road, that y'all are sharing with us, and the prayers that you offer on a regular basis and the support that you give. Those are very real experiences that are encouraging and refreshing to the saints that are beginning to be gathered together on the other side of the mountain. It is, in fact, that encouragement that causes them to be able to pray more than just Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, a name on a prayer sheet, but they know how to thank the Lord for how he's using y'all, particularly in our efforts as we seek to serve him, how they can give thanksgiving and be thankful for all that you're doing, just like Paul was thankful for Philemon. So prayers of thankfulness, but also we see here as we move our way through these few verses, there's prayers of intercession for your fellow believers, particularly as we look at verses 6 and 7 here in the letter. Now, Paul is praying that Philemon's love for God and the brethren will continue to produce fruit. So again, he's not just praying, yeah, I'm thankful for my brother Philemon there, but he has specifics he's thankful for. And now he's praying, Lord, may you continue to produce fruit through this brother, through his efforts, as he hears of his love and of the faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ for all the saints in the sharing of his faith. He's praying that God would produce fruit, that he would make it become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. A prayer that I'm sure is being prayed for the work in Knoxville, and then every work that was up on the board that I got a chance to see a few of those during dinner, the different efforts to seek to share the gospel with those who need to hear it, who need to know about the atoning work of Christ, God's grace and his forgiveness. Now in the letter here, we're beginning to work our way, and Paul is talking or writing to Philemon, and he's building a case where he's laying the groundwork for why Philemon should, as we move our way through, forgive Onesimus and reconcile with him, who had left, abandoned, run away. And so he's showing him, he's laying the groundwork for why he should do that. And this isn't a manipulation. You know, I mentioned earlier that he's not seeking to give fake flattery to Philemon here. He's not seeking just to puff, give him some words to try to just get him where he needs to or manipulate him, but he's being genuine and he's laying a groundwork here and he's praying that Philemon will be consistent with the reality of this truth and that he, out of his love and faith, will produce even more fruit and in that will forgive Philemon. Now, we're not praying that exact same prayer for y'all at the plant when we meet, but we are praying a similar prayer. And our prayer is a prayer that I ask you to pray for us. And that is that we're praying that God will cause Woodruff Road to multiply, that he will 1,000-fold cause the fruit that is being produced through the labors, the prayers, the work, the sharing of the gospel, the worship, the things that y'all are doing as a church, that God is working through you. We are asking him to multiply that it would be even greater. And we ask that you would do the same thing for us. Not because we want to see some massive church established in Northwest Knox, but because, as Scotty mentioned, there are a lot of people in that part of Knoxville that need to hear the gospel. And by God's grace, we're praying that everyone whom he has appointed will come unto salvation. And we beg that he would use us to do that. And we pray the same thing for all the supporting churches we have, y'all being one of them, for this area and for your labors in supporting gospel efforts around the world, praying for that massive increase that God would work in the fruit that is coming forth. Paul is happy that Philemon is following Christ's example by refreshing his fellow believers here. What a blessing it is to read this, particularly in the context of our day, and you can look at church history. What a blessing it is to read of good things, good tidings, of the Lord using and blessing the efforts of this brother, bringing forth fruit and not leaving behind him just a trail of pain and sorrow and heartache. And it's sad. You look around, there's folks who claim the name of Christ, and yet it seems like they're more concerned with being famous, using Jesus to get some celebrity status or to rule some kingdom that they're attempting to build or to seek in selfishness. But it's the opposite that we see being described here for Philemon. Philemon is being recognized clearly by Paul as Paul is giving thanks and now praying that even more of this would happen. He's being seen here as one that's building up the saints, refreshing and encouraging them, the exact opposite of tearing down and bringing destruction amongst them. And we all need refreshing. I mean, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that when we come to him, as we're living life in the midst of this fallen world east of Eden, that when we come to him to bring our burdens, that he doesn't say, no. Those are your burdens to carry. And praise the Lord that when we come to him as his people and we cry out, Abba Father, and we seek to pray for one another, even as we see Paul saying the importance of praying here, thank God that he says, yes, let me hear your prayers, because I'm the only one that can do anything about it. I'm the only one that can do all my perfect will. We're thankful that we don't find ourselves in a place where there is no refreshment, there is no grace, there is no living water to drink or bread to eat. And we need that refreshment. I felt that particularly spending the last 5-6 years in pastoral ministry in an established church, having spent several months in church planting. You realize even more and more how, as it was mentioned earlier, it is all up to the Lord. And Jesus said, I will build my church. That is 100% true. Jesus is the one who builds his church. We seek to be faithful and be used by him. Paul sets as a great example of prayer here in these first few verses we see laid out as he's writing to Philemon. And I pray that it will be an encouragement for us all. Encouragement for y'all, and continued encouragement for the saints who are being gathered back in Knoxville. There's a Christian who's not from this area. He's not an American, in fact. May have heard of him. His name is John Calvin. He had a few things to say about prayer, but one in particular. He said that prayer is the chief exercise of our faith. And then another non-American, Martin Luther, one of the things, many things he said about prayer, he said, one of our greatest priestly works is praying for one another. We have this opportunity every day to pray for each other. As we see here at Philemon's this letter to him, as Paul is telling him, letting him know that he remembers him, and he prays specifically, thanking God about how the Lord is using him, and that refreshes him, and he's thankful for how he refreshes others, brothers and sisters, and cares for him. We have that same opportunity, dear saints, to pray for one another, and then to go beyond, outside just the walls of praying for the folks here at Woodruff, and praying for all those that you support that are seeking to take the gospel to different areas. So I encourage you to continue to pray. Again, I'm not bringing anything new. I'm pretty confident knowing many of the folks here that you're praying. So I just encourage you to persevere. One of the things that we're recently started doing is we've been thinking through, how do we continue to meet our neighbors? How do we continue to engage those around us? So one of the things we started doing recently is a prayer outreach to folks. And it is amazing the people who will come and respond when you ask how you can pray. It's amazing how many folks, it's clear in talking with them and reading the scripture and sharing the gospel and praying with them, they have no idea who the God of the Bible is. But they realize they are in great need. And they come and they bring prayers. And many of the people we've had, just in the last 2 weeks, we've been able to engage with a ton of people. The last 2.5 weeks, maybe about 75 people. And there's a chunk of those folks that it's about, you know, hey, I'm sick. Hey, I need this help. But in the midst of that, there's this continual strain of folks who realize I am in grave, grave spiritual danger. And I need help. One man in particular, when I asked him, how can we pray for you? And he finally came back and his response was, I just realize now that I have no connection to God. So I need you to pray for me that I might be able to get right with God. Those are his words. And we were able to pray. He's come and visited at church. He's supposed to be, Lord willing, there tomorrow. Excited to continue for our folks to be able to interact with him. But it's a blessing when you come across those folks that take you to the next step. Not just, hey, I've got these daily bread needs, as important as they are, but they realize that they need prayer for spiritual things. As we pray, I encourage you to continue, as I encourage the folks at the church plant, may we continue to pray for the needs. We have needs. We need the Lord to provide for us. We have all of these daily bread type needs, but may we also pray that he would continue to work in us, not just for these temporal things, but for spiritual things. You know, that he might grant us contentment in his providence. He might grow us in his grace, that we might be more humble, more like our Savior, and generous, and holy, and salt, and light. So appreciating the prayers that y'all give for us, I'll share you a few more things that I hope will refresh you. A couple prayer requests that will refresh you, knowing these things you can pray for us, and that will encourage and refresh us, knowing that you're praying them for the saints on the other side of the mountain. If, number one, that you just pray that the Spirit would use us. Use us in the making of disciples of Christ to the glory of the Father. That God would use us to do that. Second, that you would pray that we would continue to be able to be used by the Lord in the saving of the lost and gathering together. That's our goal, our desire is to reach those who are not reached. But at the same time, we need the Lord to provide some mature saints who can help with the discipling of these folks. Again, I mentioned it was pastoral ministry in a blessed PCA church. Coming in and dealing with that has been wonderful and challenging. And then planting a church and seeking to share the gospel with folks who know not Christ, who've never been to church, and they're very different conversations. And the discipling is starting at zero and building. And we're confident that God can do that, and we're trusting in him in it. But pray that the Lord will bring some more seasoned, mature saints to help with the discipling of these folks. Third, pray for the ordinary means of grace ministry that would be effectual in the saving and sanctifying and sustaining of the folks, all of us, at the plant. And fourth, please pray that we would be one day being able to celebrate and enjoy what you at Woodruff are getting to celebrate right now. And that is the fact that one day, we hope soon, we will be helping churches getting started in Knoxville and East Tennessee and the Southeast, the United States, and be able to support works around the world. That's something that we are excited to be able to follow y'all in that direction. And then fifth, without getting too crazy, pray for the spiritual warfare that we are engaged with. You know, Satan and demons do not want a faithful gospel proclaiming church being established in the midst of a dark area. So pray for us in that. We're at war, and you are at war with us in a faraway land on the other side of the mountains in northwest Knox. As we talk about these prayers of thankfulness for your fellow believers, prayers of intercession for your fellow believers, hope you remember to thank God for your fellow believers and pray they continue producing fruit to the glory of God. And as you pray that for us, we will continue to pray that for y'all, that God would bless us with that for his glory and the benefit of his church. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We're thankful that you are the one who builds your church. We pray that as this mission conference begins and as we have opportunities, the folks here at Woodruff, to hear from many brothers who you are putting their hand to the plow in different areas. Lord, may your name be lifted high and glorified. May all of the saints here be refreshed and encouraged, thankful for this opportunity that you have granted to them. And Lord, at the same time, I pray for the dear saints, those whom you're gathering over in Knoxville. Lord, may even the time that I get to spend here with the brethren at Woodruff Road, may it be an encouragement to them. But in all, may we be encouraged in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.